Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging. To the sixth chapter of Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 6, we'll read verse 9 through verse 13, focusing on verse 9 as we work through the Lord's Prayer. The purpose of this sermon is to enhance our prayer lives. The purpose of an enhanced prayer life is to draw us nearer to Jesus Christ. And the purpose of being drawn nearer to Jesus Christ is to fellowship with Him, to taste His grace, be empowered by His Spirit, and overflow with gifts and graces and fruit of His Spirit, such that it touches our families, our community, the nations of the earth, the entire world. And that all begins with one little step of prayer. And so tonight we continue through this sermon series on prayer. And as I teach you, may I please urge you to be hearers and doers of the word, to take with you tonight, even tonight, something you will take home to offer to God in prayer, in your nighttime bedtime prayer, and then your morning prayer, or your daily prayer, or your evening prayer, and in the coming days. And I will assure you, God's people, if this is your practice with faith and contrition, renewal will come. Renewal will come. Many times people will visit a doctor and say, "Doctor, I can't sleep. Doctor, I'm not doing so well." And it's funny, doctors often begin with basic questions. Well, how's your diet? How is your exercise? How many hours are you trying to get to sleep? And we're like, "No, give me some medicine. Give me some fancy therapy." And often they have to begin with the basics. Well, it is springtime, and athletes in the springtime often get back to spring training and the basics. And tonight we get back to the basics of prayer, growing and strengthening this almost obvious gift God has given us. Tonight we read the Lord's Prayer, and we'll focus on the address of our Father, which art in heaven. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, we'll read the entire Lord's Prayer. Listen closely, this is God's word. "This then," says Jesus, "is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Footnote, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So ends the reading of God's word. Let's pause now and pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would enhance our prayer lives. We pray that you would teach us, O Jesus, as our prophet, that you would mediate for us as our priest, and that you would urge us and lead us as our king. Lord, the gift of prayer, heaven's greatest gift to mortal man, woman, and child. Oh, Lord, that we would wield this gift and that we would daily take advantage of this means of grace, and that it would cause a blossom of renewal and revitalization in our hearts and homes and church and community. Oh, Lord, draw us nearer to you and teach us to pray. And then grant us grace to practice this prayer. And then by your grace, answer those prayers. And we will give you the glory and the honor and the praise. We ask this all in Jesus' name. And let us all say, amen. Well, I have a confession to make. I sometimes daydream when I pray. I sometimes fall asleep when I pray. Now, I know that I shouldn't do this, and I wish I didn't do this, but sometimes, especially at night, the night is late, my body is weary, and I just can't seem to help it. But you know, one worse thing than falling asleep when you pray, listen closely, God's people, one worse thing than falling asleep when you pray is praying a sleepy prayer. Praying a sleepy prayer. A tedious prayer, a boring prayer that shows little hope that anything worthwhile is going on. I cannot stand it when I pray like that. But even worse, I can't stand it when I pray like that with my family or I pray like that with my church, because that is a sleepy prayer. And by that sleepy prayer, I am teaching those who are praying with me that God is not very impressive, that he's not captured my attention, that he has not stirred my imagination to pray bold, kingdom-centered prayers. J.I. Packer once wrote these words. He said, "Drab thoughts about God make our prayers grow dull." And that's true. So, dear church, if this spring you and I are to enjoy more vital communion with God and in fellowship with one another, we must always remember when we go to the Lord in prayer to whom we are speaking. And Jesus tells us, as he teaches us to pray, he reminds us in the Lord's Prayer to whom we are speaking. And Jesus today reminds us that we are speaking to our Father, which art in heaven. Now, last sermon, we learned about the fact that God is our Father. And the outline was basically God is near to us, he is close to us, he is imminent. That means he loves us, provides for us, and protects us, and that should inform our praying. Now, in this week's sermon, we learn that that same Father who protects us, who is near to us, who is close to us, is also our Father in heaven. That he is high and lifted up. That our Father inhabits eternity, that he is in lights inapproachable, that heaven is his throne, the earth is his footstool, that his name is holy. As theologians like to say, that means not only is God immanent, but it means God is transcendent. Dear church, I assure you that if you remember the fact that God is transcendent, you will not fall asleep when you pray. If you meditate for just a few moments on the highness, the holiness, the greatness, the everything of God, you will not fall asleep, because he is great. A great God evokes great praying. And so as the greatness of God grows in our mind, the greatness of our prayers will follow suit. And so we must better understand the one to whom we pray. Now, before we go into our outline, I have to make one comment. Our Father in heaven, that phrase, does not teach us that God lives in a limited location, far, far, far away, called heaven, that doesn't touch our world. That's an ancient Greek concept. The Greeks used to believe that the gods lived far away, and maybe they might hear you, maybe not, but they lived in a celestial land on top of Mount Olympus in Greece. Well, God is not limited like that. God is everywhere, not merely in one place called heaven. Heaven is where the holy angels and the saints who have gone before us, yes, they are there in that single place called heaven, but God is not bound by time and place and stuck in a place called heaven. So when you and I pray our Father in heaven, we mean that not only does God dwell in a different place from us, but in a different plane and a different dimension from us. And it is in that sense that God is in heaven. So how does this affect our prayer life? Well, it does so in three ways. Because we call God our Father in heaven, you and I, when we pray tonight in this coming week, we are to pray in three unique ways. We are to pray with respect. Secondly, we are to pray with fear. Thirdly, we are to pray with eagerness. Let's take them in that order. Firstly, by this preface to the Lord's Prayer, Jesus telling us to pray our Father who art in heaven, Jesus teaches us, firstly, to pray with respect. Have you noticed how modern-day Americans grow more and more flippant about God? We sometimes speak about God in very careless and casual ways, sometimes very disrespectful ways. Some people like to call God the man upstairs. Some people like to call him the big guy in the sky. I know of one actress who says, "To me, God is like a great big daddy. I could sit down on his lap, put my arms around his neck, and give him a big hug." Now, it is true that God is our Father, but the word heavenly should remind us that we should not get careless about God. When you pray to God, speak to him with respect, great respect. Now, this has been a uniquely American challenge for a couple hundred years. It's been a difficulty, to be honest, for several hundred years in American Christianity. I don't know for the reason, but for whatever reason, many American Christians try to startle or amuse churchgoers by talking about or to God in casual and offhanded ways. Hey, God, how you doing? Hey, we were just wondering, Pops, if you could, and off they go. The 19th century theologian W.G.T. Shedd wrote these words. He said, familiarity is the worst of faults in prayer. Southern Presbyterian R.L. Dabney heaped scorn on half-educated or spiritually proud men who frequently indulge in an indecent familiarity with the Most High God under the pretense of family nearness to him. Charles Spurgeon, in his letters to his students, wrote that he wished those who indulge in such fond and familiar expressions could come to a better understanding of the true relation existing between man and God. Spurgeon counseled that we should be scrupulously reverent in our language to God so that listeners would not think we have God in our hip pocket. Dear church, God is high. God is lifted up. Anytime we speak to him, we do so with awe and reverence. And so Jesus gives us the remedy for the best kind of praying when he gives us that phrase, our Father in heaven. Jesus, when we approach God in prayer, is teaching us to have a blessed balance between love and respect for God at the same time as we offer the prayer. We should not be overly informal with God. He is in heaven, says Jesus, but neither should we be cold and remote with God because he is our Father. Think of an earthly father. What does he desire from his child? Love and respect. Love and respect. Both at the same time. I mean, that child in one sense can jump onto his father's lap with comfort and confidence, but also that child should be careful not to cross the line, the blessed balance. In my experience, bad fathers usually have one of these qualities or the other, not both. Bad fathers are either feared but not adored, or they are adored and not feared. They are either too hard and too strict, or they are too soft and too permissive. But you and I, dear church, when we go to our Heavenly Father, must remember the balance when we pray, that God is our Father who is in heaven. Show love and respect when we pray. So would you like to talk to God tonight? In this service, when you get home in the coming weeks, do so. Speak to him. Do so with freedom. He is your Father through the grace by faith of Jesus Christ. But as you speak freely, make sure that you figuratively take off your shoes because you are standing on holy ground before your Father in heaven. Pray with respect. That's our first point. Remember who you are speaking with by praying with respect. Secondly, because God is our Heavenly Father, we are to pray not only with a balance of love and respect, but secondly, we are to pray with fear. I remember growing up in the 70s with my dad, and I don't know about you, but I was very scared of getting in trouble with my dad when I was growing up. The last thing I wanted to do was to see that disappointed look on the face of Dallas Igo. I especially did not want him to have to visit school and see the principal, which he had to do one time, and I had to come back to school with a note signed by mom and dad that they had talked with me about the issue. I was afraid of angering my dad. Now, whenever my father was angry with me, Dad did not stop being my dad in the process, not at all. In fact, Dad's anger toward me proved he was my father. That's what Hebrews 12:6 says. Hebrews 12:6 says, "The Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son." And so whenever Dad got mad at me, in one sense, it was proof that he was responsible for me. If I was the kid who lived down the street, well, Dad wouldn't be mad with me at all. But I wasn't that kid down the street. I was his son. And so when I did wrong, it angered him, as it should. Well, the Bible teaches there are times when Christians undergo what Westminster Confession calls God's fatherly displeasure. And you should dread that. You should not want that. In the same way we don't want that earthly father's displeasure, you don't want that. You should be afraid of a situation that might cause that. You shouldn't want your father to be mad at you. You don't want to taste the fury of his wrath. And so teaches Jesus by the phrase, "Our Father in heaven," you should speak to your father with holy fear. Now, let me give you the right expectation here. I'm not suggesting that when you pray that you approach God with sheer terror. Godly fear is not terror. God is always good. He does not lash out uncontrollably like some of our earthly fathers can. He does not punish us unfairly or unjustly or unpredictably. I think we all know kids when we were growing up, or still even know kids that feared their dads because their dad would give them a slap over the head for the slightest offense. That is not the case with God. God has a great fatherly temperament. The Bible says he is slow to anger, and that he is abounding in love, and that he does not treat us as our sins deserve. And that is a wonderful quality for fathers. And so our fear of God should not be terror, but nonetheless, it should be real fear. Christians should talk to God about the heart's desire with a godly fear. Now, dear church, there are some people today who teach that God is actually never, ever angry with unbelievers or Christians. They believe that because we are saved by grace, that God no longer is ever displeased with us, that he always sees us in Christ, and that nothing we can do can make him more or less happy. And so we should never fear him. But dear church, that is not true. Over and over, the Bible teaches us to fear our Father's displeasure simply because he is our Father and we have a relationship of grace. 1 Peter 1:17 says, "If you address God as Father, then conduct yourselves in fear." 1 Peter 4:17 says, "For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God." And that's one reason we fear our fathers. Because he's watching us. He's evaluating our action. He is making decisions about our character and behavior. And one incentive to conduct ourselves well is because he will judge us one day. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." That's a reason we should fear our Father. He's going to judge us. He is going, as our Father, he will reward us for what we have done, or he will remove rewards for what we have not done, even as he gives us heaven as a gift of grace. I don't know about you, but I hate losing rewards. I do. I don't want to be one of those barely saved Christians. I don't want to make it to heaven by grace and then have no special rewards from our Heavenly Father. I'm afraid of displeasing my Father and losing his reward. And so, yes, God can be angry with his people. We see it in the Psalms everywhere. Psalm 37, 60, 77, 88, 90, 103. And Paul summarizes that teaching in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6. Paul tells us that God's anger actually serves as an example to Christians. He says, he writes there, "Now these things occurred as examples to you, to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as did they." So dear Christian, do fear him. He's your father. Fear him. He gives rewards. He takes rewards away. Fear him. Pray with fear to your holy father. This brings us to our final point. When we pray to our Father who is in heaven, first, we're to pray with respect. Secondly, we're to pray with fear. Thirdly and finally, we should pray with eagerness. Praying with eagerness. I want to tell you a story. I remember, I love camping and hiking nowadays, but I had a slow start at it. I really never camped or hiked until I was about 13 or 14 years old. When I was a younger boy, Dad and my cousin had told me they could take me camping, and I was so excited. But finally, that Friday came, and we were going to hop in the car and head down to the hills of West Virginia and go on a weekend camping trip. Dad said, "We can't. I can't get away from Ohio this weekend. So we can't do it." Fathers have limitations on earth. Heavenly fathers don't have limitations. Our heavenly father has no limitations like earthly fathers do. The Bible says nothing is too difficult for him. With God, all things are possible. Heaven and earth cannot contain him. And so that should make you and I, when we are thinking of God as Heavenly Father, eager to pray to him, because the perfect Father, the ideal Father, the Heavenly Father has all things. Now, nowadays, there are some people out there who do not like to call God Father. Some people don't like to call God or think of God as a father because it reminds them of their own dad. Perhaps their dad was a bad dad, or their dad was a mediocre dad, or he meant well but lacked the ability. And so some people feel that that phrase father actually doesn't bring them peace. It's an unpleasant metaphor in their prayer life. But dear church, I think that is wrongheaded. You know, deadbeat dads were around in the days of Jesus. They're not just a recent product of the modern welfare state. And Jesus, nonetheless, with deadbeat dads all around him, still welcomed us to call God Father anyway. And the question is, why? Well, I think that's easy. You and I can all imagine what a good father should be like, right? You can all imagine what an ideal father should do. Well, our ideal father is God. And if for some reason your earthly dad was bad, you can say, you know what? God is never like that. And if you had an earthly father who was good, who provided and protected and loving, then you can say, God is like that, even better. That should make you eager to talk in prayer. There's no better father than God. There is no parent more committed to their children than God. There is no dad more wise and more generous than God. Talk to your heavenly father. So, do you have a financial need tonight? Do you know that your father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? Your father is very rich. Do you have family problems tonight? Do you know that your heavenly Father can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that is in us? Do you have a friend who is incredibly unsaved tonight? Do you know that God is able to save to the uttermost? Do you lack love and unity? Do you find lack of love or unity in your church? Do you know that God is willing to root and ground us in love? Let your thoughts move back and forth between the fact that God is my Father and God is in heaven, God is in heaven and God is my Father. And when you grasp that truth, to whom you are praying, you will pray. You will pray with respect. You will pray with fear. But above all, you will pray with eagerness. And you won't pray one of those sleepy prayers I talked about. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we are eager to speak to you. You have more resources than our own dads. Our dads who in their best of days would do anything for us, give us anything for which we ask, help us in any way. For some of us, our fathers are gone. They've passed away. For others, our fathers are inaccessible. They've wandered or their hearts are not near to us. And for others, our fathers are close and care, but none of them can do the heartfelt, deep needs we have. But you, O Father, can. I pray, O Lord, tonight for someone with financial problems, that they would remember you are the God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, or someone whose family life just cannot get stable, that you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Or that someone we want to be saved tonight, you, O Lord, can save to the uttermost. You are the ideal Father, the Heavenly Father. But Lord, we ask this with respect, because we know your thoughts are not our thoughts, your ways are not our ways. The way and timing in which we would desire you to do it is not often your plan and your way. And so we wait patiently upon the Lord. And Lord, we fear and tremble that lest we ask with too much zeal and too much self-centeredness and too much trying to take things into our own hands, that you would humble us and teach us to wait upon the Lord. Bless our praying, Lord. Help us to pray to our Father who art in heaven. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151. Or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.